This is the Your Vote, Your Voice Election 2020 podcast. Keep it tuned to 1030 The Voice for everything Election 2020. Local and national races, all the updates. Election 2020 lives on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Continuing our Election 2020 coverage here on Tipping Point, here on 1030 The Voice. With an important race, one of the races that I think has the most potential to shape the county for a long time to come. I think it's that important. I think it's a race that doesn't get as much attention. And if you've been listening to the program the last few weeks, you'll know that I'm talking about the Pima County Attorney's race. And I'm looking forward to having the one of the three candidates for that race on with us today, Mark Diebel, 23 years as a deputy county attorney with the Pima County Attorney's Office, one of three candidates running to replace longtime county attorney Barbara Lowall. So let's do it. Mr. Diebel, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Zach. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Yes. So let's do a little a few setting the table questions before we get into it. Who is Mark Diebel and how did you get here?
Well, let me start with I'm a product of Tucson, Arizona. I grew up here, starting with elementary school all the way to the University of Arizona. We came here early. My dad was a pilot in the United States Air Force, stationed here at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. He did tours in Vietnam. We stayed, and I've been a part of this community since the 60s. My mom primarily raised the five of us. I have two sisters, their spouses, a brother, all in Tucson, Arizona. As I said, I grew up here. I spent time here. I went to Saguaro High School, University of Arizona, and I have a lot of family and friends. I have a longtime commitment to this community, and I expect that to continue for many, many more years.
Again, 23 years as deputy county attorney. It's the name of the show, so it's always a fun question to ask. Most of the time I ask every candidate this question for any office. What was your tipping point? What was that moment where it just kind of, you know, snapped for you in a good way or a negative way? And said, it's an open seat. I got to run. I need to be a part of this race.
Right. So for 23 years, as you had mentioned, I've been a deputy county attorney, and I've been prosecuting the most violent criminals in Tucson for the majority of that period of time. Just to give you a little background, I started in 1997 as a deputy county attorney and did a short stint in the misdemeanor unit where conducted 150 trials on a misdemeanor level, maybe 175 if you count the misdemeanor DUI stuff. Then I did drug unit for a short period of time, but soon thereafter I went to violent crimes. Violent crimes are a huge part of our city's problem and our county's problem. I'm talking about homicide, murder, attempted murder, drive-by shootings, aggravated assault with weapons, gang activity. And for 18 years, I've been the lead gang prosecutor in Tucson. Not too long ago, the elected official made an announcement that she was going to retire after 24 years. Prior to her, there was another person in the office for 20 years.
Yeah.
So for the last 44 years, there's been two people as the elected official on that job.
Mm-hmm.
When that retirement notification was made, I came home and talked to my wife, and she was the one who said to me, you know, you should run. This is an open race. Mm-hmm. You're a longtime community guy. You're involved in the community. We have family here. We have two small children at home. We have a 10-year-old Connor and a 7-year-old Morgan. And she said, you've been making a difference for so long. This is an opportunity for you to run for county attorney and continue making a difference, maybe on just a different level.
Right. In those 23 years, you have tried over 300 criminal trials. We're gonna wind our way before the end of this first segment to the basic bullet points of your platform. But some of our conversation in the green room leads me to ask this question: in your definition, what is the role of the office and of the Pima County attorney, we were talking about how a lot of candidates will get questions where people assume what is the scope. And it seems like the attorney's office has a very specific one. In your words, in your experience, what are people interviewing you for? What's the job you're interviewing for? Mark Diebold, candidate for Pima County Attorney's Office.
Well, thanks. The Pima County attorney has a variety of responsibilities, but the biggest and number one that comes to my mind is serving the community in many, many different ways, not only prosecuting criminal cases, but also the civil division, which is a good-sized law firm within the county attorney's office. So I would say the number one thing is serve the community. And a big part of what I've been involved with is keeping the community safe for many, many, many years. I think the community outreach that the Pima County attorney has is to integrate the entire office into the community by first and foremost protecting its citizens. And we do that through the prosecution of criminals primarily. In my opinion, having talked to many, many people, if you were to ask the everyday guy on the street what the county attorney does, I think they would respond by saying, prosecute criminals. Mm. But in reality, the office does much, much more than that. We serve victims. We support victims. We support law enforcement. We don't make laws, but we actually enforce the laws of the state of Arizona, and we all take an oath to do that. And that's, I think, what people really think about is a safe community, wanting to have criminals separated from them, and that's what we do on a daily basis. Mm-hmm.
And that's a good segue into the last piece here before we go to break, and then we'll get into a few policy areas. But your platform that you've developed for why you want to be hired by the people for this job, and we're with Mark Diebold, a candidate for Pima County Attorney's Office, are three issues that reflect what you just said. In your words, safer streets, reducing violence, and supporting victims. Do you want to go into any detail on any of that before we head to our first break?
Sure. And I've touched on the safer streets, but in the many, many years I've prosecuted cases, and you had mentioned 320 felony jury trials and hundreds of prosecutions other than that, most of them violent criminals, I recognize on a daily basis who is violent and who has the potential to be violent by looking at the individual. I think if we focus on those people, and I'm talking about the guns in the hands of the wrong people, okay? I'm talking about gun violence, I'm talking about that 5-year-old who was shot days ago, that little precious girl. I'm talking about all those things, and that's probably in the list of priorities. That's probably the number one thing is gun violence, violence in our streets, violence of innocent victims. And I think that in and of itself, and I'm talking about home residential burglaries, that's the number one priority to have. Keep the guns out of the bad guy's hands. If we find a guy with a bad guy with a gun in his hand, we're going to prosecute him to the full extent of the law. That's probably my number one priority.
Safer streets, reducing violence, and supporting victims. You can read more about Mark Diebold's platform by going for Mark, M-A-R-K, for County Attorney. com. When we come back from a very short break, we'll get into a few policy areas, a few details, our get-to-know-you first interview with Mark Diebold, 23 years as Deputy County Attorney with the Pima County Attorney's Office. We will return shortly for more. You're listening to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. You're listening on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. We're in studio for part two of our interview with Mark Diebold. He's the deputy county attorney, has been for 23 years, and he's running to replace longtime county attorney Barbara LaWall as Pima County attorney, one of three candidates in that race. Mark Diebold, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
We touched on this a little bit. Your platform has an emphasis on safety and security. You mentioned a couple of ways in which you believe is the answer to my question when asked this, but in what ways are we not secure? Let me add a part B to that. You mentioned over the last 43 to 45 years, it's in that range. We've had two county attorneys, many, whether they've liked it or not, have considered Barbara LaWall to be a very firm county attorney. And why do you think that we're still at this point where there is such a security issue, such a safety issue? And is there anything that you can do or want to do as a county attorney to not just have great prosecutors prosecuting cases, but why do we live in such a violent community still after so many years?
Well, the whys are sometimes beyond me. If you want me to answer that in a philosophical way, I will, but I won't go into great detail. If I had a magic wand and I could use it, I would wave it and make everyone a really outstanding and great parent. I think a lot of the product we get is from, or a lot of the individuals we encounter have not had good role models, not have good mentors, not have good parenting, or parent one at a time in their early life. I mean, there's clear studies that show that children who, for example, just to use an example, who don't go to preschool because they can't afford it, don't have access, or are unaware of it because of their parent or parents, those people are far more likely to get arrested, not to finish high school, not to go to college, and all of those things are negative. And again, that's more of a philosophical one. That's not something I could directly address, perhaps, as the county attorney. But I think it's something that people should think about, mm-hmm. and we should be aware of what we're doing with young people and how we treat them, and what in the direction we send them in, and give them good role models, or be good role models for them. Why are we still living in a violent society? Well, I think they've been trying to answer that question for years and years and years. We can focus on the most violent ones out there, and you can get people to give you studies to say this guy is going to do this. We can predict this. You can't predict very accurately future violence, but you can put somebody in charge who recognizes, who's been doing it for over 20 years, who can see a pattern of misconduct, and you can say this guy needs focus. We need to focus on this individual and hold him fully accountable, him or her fully accountable for their acts, so they won't hurt anyone or kill anyone in the future. And I think that. Is it reactive? In a large way, it is. But as the Pima County attorney, a lot of the responses are reactive to the crime.
Mark Diebold, deputy county attorney. There are these numbers that I've seen, and want to make sure that, I mean, you believe that they're generally accurate, but what would you do about it? Because I think that what I'm about to say is something that a large percentage of the community realizes is something that we need to fix. In 2019, 31% of Pima County attorneys' felony prosecutions were for drug possession. A decent percentage of that were small drug possession. Only 1%, the claim is, were for aggravated domestic violence. 2% were for child or vulnerable adult violence. 2% were for armed robbery. I know in some of your campaign literature, you realize that this is a problem too. Your focus is on some of this kind of high crime and violence, yet so much of the county attorney's office has been focused on the small drug crime. 60% of the county's entire budget, some have said, is allocated to something surrounding the criminal justice system in the county. Is it too much? What would you do to lead out on adjusting the balances somewhere?
Well, one of the things I would do is reduce the minor drug possessions that we see on a regular basis. And we probably, on the felony level, probably see 30 a week, so 120 a month easily, of a small amount of methamphetamine, a small amount of heroin, a small amount of, I'm not talking marijuana, we'll set that aside, okay. Small amounts of personal use, but I'm talking about narcotics and dangerous drugs, pills, vape pens, things of that nature. And just to give you an example, we'll see a person who has less than half a gram, a quarter gram. So if you take a packet of sugar and break that into four parts, a quarter of a gram is what a little package of sugar, a quarter of that is how much we are stopping people for. The guy's riding a bike, doesn't have a taillight, it's late at night, he's got a backpack, he's got a meth pipe in his pocket, and we arrest him. The police arrest him, which they should because it's against the law. The question is, what do we do with those types of cases? Do we prosecute those fully? And the answer is no, of course not. We don't want to fill our jails and prisons with people that are addicts, have minor amounts of drugs in them. Drugs themselves are a problem. Obviously, drugs in many cases lead to other things. People breaking into homes, breaking into businesses, breaking into cars. And if we encounter, at least what I want to do, if we encounter those types of crimes associated with drug use, then they'll be prosecuted. But the real small amounts of meth and heroin, although I'm totally against the idea of people using these because I don't think it benefits them or society, I don't think those should be prosecuted on a felony level. Okay, and I do not want to send somebody to prison for possession of a small amount. If they're moving larger loads, if they're involved in the sales activity, that's a different story. If I can determine or we can determine that they're involved in other criminal activity, we'll address that. But the small amounts, we can't keep putting money after that. It has to go to treatment, education, addictions, issues, and I think that's the biggest problem. Years ago when I did work directly in the drug unit, we were sending people to prison for selling to an undercover police officer a chip of crack cocaine off of a rock, right? Mm. It's a $10 chip. However, it's a class 2 felony if you sell a narcotic drug. And if you sell it to a police officer, the county attorneys will charge you. And that's obviously bad behavior, poor behavior. But in that scenario, if the person had 2 or 3 prior felony convictions, he or she would be eligible for a 15-year sentence. And often in those years would get those sentences. So what I've seen over the years is a lot of these addicts are selling small amounts to support their habit. That has to be evaluated. Are they true criminals? Yes, they're breaking the law. Are they violent criminals that are going to break into your home, your car, hurt your family member? I don't know. That has to be evaluated. The big issue that I see with this many drug cases coming in on a daily basis is what if you get a guy with a half a gram or less than half a gram, and we're seeing a lot of heroin, a lot of meth, and again, setting marijuana aside, if you get that and the person, you look at his record and he has 4, 5, 6 prior felony convictions, I mean, what's the answer to that? What do you do with that guy? And we have measures in place. We have programs in place. We have a couple of times you would get a Prop 200, 6 undesignated offenses. Then you get DTAP, which is an alternative to prison for drugs. We have treatments. We have now another program with Tucson Police Department to try to keep these drug users, pure drug users, pure addicts, out of jail and out of prison.
Mm-hmm. We have about 2 minutes, so let me wrap up with this question because the Pima County voters will have a choice. They have a choice here in the Democratic primary, 3 Democrats running for Pima County Attorney. Yourself, fellow Deputy County Attorney Jonathan Mosher, is also running, and then lawyer Laura Conover, excuse me, is also running. I would, in my conversation with Jonathan, I really sense this desire to have this strong on crime and also this reform plank as well. My sense with Laura Conover is heavy on reform, seen a lot of things over the last 40-some years that in her mind needs to be reformed. If you had to compare yourself to your two opponents, not as people, but just in terms of platform, how should the voters look at what you're trying to do as a choice?
Well, respectfully to both of the other candidates, the way I see this is that this is the 3 choices that the people, the citizens have for the next county attorney, unless somebody were to jump in, which I'm unaware of. I think what sets us apart is my experience and my dedication and my commitment to this community for 23 years straight, not wavering, not leaving, not quitting. Even though there were times that I could have been drawn away from this, more money, less work, less stress, et cetera. Even now with a young family, I still desire to have that passion, you will, if you will, to make a difference in the community. I think that I will make a bigger difference. I think I've committed myself to this community to long enough so people can stop and say, hey, Mark Diebolt cares about this community. He's got children in this community. He's got family in this community. He's been here for a long time, and he hasn't left the job. He's still doing it on a day-to-day basis. That's the biggest thing, is to make a difference, and I have a passion to continue to do that.
Mark Diebolt, thank you so much for your time this morning. And thank you for coming in on this Monday and sharing your vision for the Pima County Attorney's Office.
Zach, thanks for having me.
Mark for County Attorney, M-A-R-K, markforcountyattorney.com.